Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Savior Jesus, the Lord of the Church. Amen. The Word of God is taken from the Old Testament lesson just read, the book of Hosea, chapter 11. Dear friends in Christ, this past Friday in my special issues and counseling class, I participated in a rather lively discussion regarding the video Fatal Addiction, which is the final testimony of convicted serial murderer Ted Bundy. We talked about a number of things with the video, but we also talked about the possibility of forgiveness of sin. Some of you may remember Ted Bundy, a mass murderer. He had abused, raped, and killed more than 27 women during a 20-year time span. He did this across the country, finally abducted, and he was imprisoned in a Florida state penitentiary. Finally, in 1988, he was executed, and the night before his execution, he had an interview with Dr. James Dobson from Focus on the Family. The video describes a number of things. It talks about the power of pornography in his own life and in the lives of criminals. But something was said during the video that disturbs a lot of people. Because at one point, it's mentioned that Ted Bundy professed that he came to faith in Jesus Christ during his stay in prison. Bundy confesses he repented of his sins, and he had accepted the forgiveness of sins through faith in Jesus' death and resurrection. Now, I got to tell you, a lot of people, including Christians, were absolutely outraged that anybody could suggest that Ted Bundy could be forgiven. People said he was a monster, and certainly what he did was monstrous, but they said that any type of confession that he gave simply had to be dismissed out of hand. One person even said, crimes that bad can never be forgiven. He couldn't be sincere. He couldn't be sincere. Could he? Could he be forgiven? You see, there is a scandal of forgiveness, isn't there? Oh, I think we all know that we can forgive some of the people, some of the time, but all of the people, all of the time, if they're Christian, when they continue to do the same thing over and over, well, that's asking a bit much. I mean, we can forgive one another here at the seminary for unkind words spoken or mean things being done to one another. All of us are under all kinds of pressure, and sometimes we don't always say the kind word to one another. To our spouses, to our kids, to our family, and we do things that are just not nice. But we all know, well, that can be forgiven. But what about the big sins, the murder, the rape, the abuse, the adultery? And maybe even on one level we think, yeah, that can be forgiven, but what about when it happens to you, or to your family, or to someone that you know and love? It's a bit different. I mean, forgiveness sure is sweet when you're the one being forgiven, but when it comes to the big sins that others have done, well, it just doesn't seem right. And in fact, something in us almost thinks it seems wrong. I mean, David, even in the Psalms, at times prays for retribution, imploring that God would help avenge the wrong in the world. I think what makes sense is what Irma Bombeck said. Lord, if you can't make me thin, then make my friends look fat. I mean, what could be more human than that? And all of us can identify with that. That's real, and that's us, and that's our humanity. Because from kindergarten on, we're taught how to succeed in the world. Early bird gets the worm, no pain, no gain, no such thing as a free lunch. I mean, trust me, I've tried to get one at Lober. It ain't gonna happen. Demand your rights, get what you pay for. All of us know these rules quite well, and most of us here live by them. We work hard for what we earn, and I don't know about you, but I like to win. I like to win a lot. Because I like to win, I'm going to insist on my rights. I want people to get what they deserve, nothing more, nothing less. It's a whole lot easier. And yet, if I care to listen, I hear a loud whisper from the gospel that I didn't get what I deserved. I deserve punishment, and I got forgiven. I deserved death, and I got life. I deserved wrath, and I got loved. I deserved debtor's prison, and I got instead a clean credit history. I deserved stern lectures, and I got the Lord's table. You see, I think the very tension that we feel between forgiveness and retribution maybe in just a small way reflects how God looks at you and me, how God looks at humanity. On the one hand, God loves us in Christ, but on the other, our behavior sickens him, it repulses him. God yearns to see in you and me something of his own image reflected, and at times, he sees simply a shattered fragment of that image, and yet he doesn't quit. He continues to go after his people. In our text for today, God wavers between tender reminiscences of his people and solemn threats of judgment. Text says this, "Swords will flash in their cities," he warns darkly, and then almost in mid-sentence, a cry of love escapes from our Lord's lips. "How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? My heart is changed within me. All my compassion is aroused. I will not carry out my fierce anger," God says at last, "for I am God and not man, the Holy One among you." Although Israel deserved his rebuke, they do not get what they deserve. "I'm God and not man. Don't I have a right to do what I want with my own people?" And so God will go to any preposterous length to get his people back. And so in an astonished, acted-out parable, God asks the prophet Hosea to marry a woman named Gomer in order to illustrate his love for Israel. Gomer bears 3 children for Hosea, and then she abandons the family to live with another man. For a time, she works as a prostitute, and it's during this period God comes to Hosea and gives him the shocking command, "Now, Hosea, I want you to go. You go love your wife. You go show love to your wife, though she's loved by another man, and she's an adulteress. You love her. Love her as the Lord loves you, as the Lord loves the Israelites, though they turn to other gods." You see, in Hosea, the scandal of grace became an actual talk-of-the-town scandal. I mean, what goes through a man's mind when his wife treats him as Gomer treated Hosea? I think I know, because I know what would go through mine. I'm going to kill her, and I'm sure he wanted to. He wants to kill her. He wants to forgive her. He wants divorce. He wants reconciliation. She shamed him. She melted him. And absurdly, against all odds, the irresistible power of love and grace won out. Hosea, the cuckold, the joke of the community, welcomes his wife back home. She didn't get what she deserved. She didn't get fairness. She didn't even get justice. She got loved. She got loved into life. She got grace. Every time I read their story or read God's speeches that begin with sternness and then dissolve into tears, I absolutely marvel at a God who allows himself to endure such humiliation only to keep coming back for more and for more and for more because he loves people. You see, at the center of our Lord's life and teaching is a God who comes after you and me like nobody's business, a God who takes the initiative towards us, a lovesick father who runs to meet the prodigal, a landlord who cancels a debt too large for any servant to reimburse, an employer who pays 11th-hour workers the same wages as the first-hour crew, a banquet giver who goes out to the highways and the byways in search of undeserving guests saying, "Come on in, the meal's ready." And to be quite honest, I guess I love the story of Hosea because it's my story. It's your story. And because, quite frankly, I resemble Gomer a whole lot more than Hosea. I've never divorced my wife for another woman, but I sure have lusted. I sure have been unkind to people. I sure have hated people. I have laughed at things that have been said that should not have been said. I have turned a back on doing right when I realized that doing right would have cost me something. And I said, "I don't want to do that because it costs me too much." I've been unfaithful to my God in so many, many ways. And so have you. I have at times cloaked myself in gospel while living anti-gospel. And I absolutely thank God for his love that came to Gomer, because it's the same love that came for you. It's the same love that came for me. Because I know, and you know, and we confess this truth, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. At our very worst, while yet in sin, we came face to face with God's love in Jesus Christ, and through his great death and through his victorious resurrection from the dead, You and I have been forgiven of all sins, and indeed it is true, he saved a wretch like me. To God be the glory. Amen.